I've been meaning to catch up with my next guest for some time because she has such a great handle, a great history, and great insights into our regional tourism industry. Her name is Angela Freeman. She's co-owner of Wildlife Tropical North Queensland. Now, you would know those guys from fantastic, incredible attractions in our region, Hartley's Crocodile Adventures and Bird World at Kuranda being just two of them. Angela, first of all, welcome to the King Review.
Thank you very much. A pleasure.
Now, give us a quick update, a bit of an overview of the tourism industry. I'm hearing some positives, despite the rough and tumble of the past 12 months. There's actually, I feel, a little bit of positivity, some good news, anecdotally at least, on the hotel accommodation front. A lot of attractions seem to be enjoying some numbers and some forward bookings. From your point of view across your businesses, what are you seeing?
I think we're very fortunate to see that, I suppose, pent-up demand finally being able to be realised in dollars and cents and in bums on seats and in beds over the Easter period. Obviously, so many people had bookings that got cancelled and deferred and this, that, and the other thing. So I think overall there was a good spread from what I heard and saw at the attractions that we've got in terms of where people were coming from, Adelaide and obviously Melbourne and Sydney, but also various other places, even, you know, intra-Queensland as well. So I think we're starting to see more than green shoots. I think there were some really positive signs. Accommodation, whilst there's been some very large percentages floated around, in my personal trekking around, speaking face-to-face with accommodation operators, they're overall quite positive, certainly not in those high 90s, but certainly sitting around that sort of 70s and so forth. Some of the more higher-end properties are looking quite good.
And getting good room rates, Angela, I've heard.
Well, the whole thing is, in their minds, they're like, a lot of people are like going, well, you know what, we're actually not going to go for a race to the bottom this time. We're just going to hold our rates and get the best yield we can, you know. So I think that's very sensible rather than trying to get into a gutter fight with your fellow accommodation operators by dropping rates. But that's their call. But that seems to be, the yield seems to be quite good too. Mm. And I think reasonable stays too, people staying quite a few nights and getting around and exploring. There's obviously ups and downs in the whole thing. We have a shortage of labour for turning rooms over and hospitality labour and things like that. I've got a few crazy ideas which I'll talk to a few politicians about.
Feel free to share your crazy ideas with the King Review audience. We're all about those crazy ideas.
Well, you know, we've got some beautiful Indigenous people that are in various locations that are not just Indigenous young people, but just young people generally who are up on in places like the Tablelands and, you know, various other locations where there's not a lot of work around. You know, and, you know, I'm thinking of places like Innisfail, I'm thinking about places like, you know, Kuranda, Mareeba area or something like that. Is it too crazy to look at some sort of bus service that might pick the young folk up and they can go up, arrive in places like Port Douglas by about 9-ish when the room turnovers need to be done? They're logged into various places where they go through and help them out with their rooms. Someone organises, you know, conditioners, they have to organise some lunch for them or something like that, so they've actually don't have to worry about a meal. And then the bus heads off at sort of, say, 3 o'clock in the afternoon or whatever, and then they head back home, you know. Because the big problem is transport, because a lot of these young folk can't get transport, and the accommodation is very expensive and hard to find in some of these areas.
Well, Angela Freeman, that is not a crazy idea at all. That's the type of solutions we need to look at. And I don't know about you, but I find it absolutely fascinating and staggering in that we're coming out of this pandemic where we all expected that, you know, the economy would be decimated and certainly has been in certain parts, but we're certainly now on the recovery. And so we're now in this almost weird position, and agriculture is in a similar spot where we can't find people to fill some of these jobs. I mean, I've spoken to hotels here in Cairns who are telling me the same thing, in that they have positions vacant, but they can't fill them. So we absolutely need to look at those creative solutions. Now,
and because we had a lot of people relocate from down south, a lot of those more affordable options, some of the people who probably held rental properties and went, oh, gee, everything's going to custard in North Queensland, I'll sell now before it gets too, you know, while I'm still getting a decent price. Well, that's a whole bunch of rental property out of the market as well. So some of these people would like to work in Port Douglas, would like to work on the Cairns beaches, would like to work somewhere, but they just can't get accommodation. So why not just transport them from their home down here rather than having to try to have people relocate?
Well, for those politicians who may be listening, let's jump onto that idea from Angela. I think we have to explore solutions, all possible solutions. Tell us a little bit now, do you have a handle on almost the mentality of people who are booking? I think last year people were fine to book, knowing that they could roll with the punches if borders were closed. But I think as that happened more and more, I'm hearing that people from outside the region looking to visit are just far more reluctant now to book too far in advance. What are you hearing from that customer point of view?
Oh, look, I think if we rolled the clock back about 2 months ago, I think I'd totally agree with that. But I think that as we start to move forward with vaccinations, whilst it's been a bit of a dog's breakfast in terms of how it's all happened, as we move forward with those vaccinations, as the systems get better, I think people are feeling a bit more confident. You've got different kinds of travellers. You've got people who've probably made a mozza last year for various reasons and have not been able to spend it. So they probably have got some accrued leave up their sleeve. So if they did have to stay in Queensland or something, it's not the end of the world to them. Then you've got some people who are extremely time sensitive. They have to be back by a certain time and their world's going to collapse. So I think there's different camps of people. Some people are sort of like, oh, well, look, you know, I'd rather be up here than be freezing in Melbourne or freezing somewhere else. So, and the thing about it is too, people can get a lot of their business done virtually now. People have learnt how to have virtual meetings and this, that, the other thing. So if you've got that kind of business or you've got that kind of employment, if you do get stuck, well, you can, there's ways around it, you know. So I think that there's a bit of still that of what you're talking about, but I also think there's another sort of thought, which is basically carry on. I'm not going to let this spoil my fun or my relaxation time or my special time with my family. I've put it off long enough and I'm going to come. So there's that sort of mentality as well.
Keep calm and carry on, perhaps, should be our next tourism slogan. Now, Angela, just to wrap up now, you're right across what's happening in Kuranda. There's been a rough ride for Kuranda, it's fair to say, for a whole bunch of reasons.
Yes.
Talk to us a little bit about where is the village at the moment? How are things looking?
Okay, well, it's a kind of an interesting scenario. I mean, we're very grateful for SkyRail putting on some extra days capacities and being a little bit more flexible with how things are going. So they're tending to assess what's happening. If they can see the demand, they're putting on those extra capacity or extra days or whatever, which is just wonderful. Unfortunately, our friends at the Queensland Rail have had some issues with the train and obviously there's been some scheduled maintenance and there's been, you know, they're concerned about running, quite understandably, running the train if there might be a some sort of issue with the track and what have you. So they've got to make their assessments. That obviously kind of puts a huge hole in us up in Kuranda in terms of that side of it. But overall, big picture. I think big picture is that there is a will and a willingness to go forward. I think we as a village are working far more cohesively and cooperatively together. There was already a need for a kind of reinvention of Kuranda to make it more resilient in terms of the markets it pursues, in terms of the kinds of products it offers, so it's more appealing to the Cairns locals, more appealing to the regional market, so that it's something that they can go and do, so it's not just a tourist town in a box type of thing. And whilst there's negative sides and things like that, and there certainly are, there's positives. You know, our beautiful arts co-op, those guys have just recently moved into new premises. Diddy LeBays, who, and I hope that I've pronounced that correctly, Diddy will have my guts for guys if I haven't, she is building a new studio where you'll be able to go into there and actually see her doing her beautiful artworks live. So it's actually going to be a gallery, an antique store type of thing with beautiful European antiques and a gallery. So she's putting that in there. Our very famous crepe people, Le Petit Café, they're building a whole new restaurant. They're fitting all that out at the moment. So
that is one of my absolute go-to food options in the entire far north, the crepe place at Caranda. That is an absolute classic. Now, Angela Freeman, thank you so much for your insights. I'd love to catch up with you again over coming months just to keep track on tourism in general, but also, as you said, that Caranda, the village, making sure that we're constantly, I guess, talking about Caranda and making sure that it's front of mind for the people who need to hear it. Angela Freeman, thank you so much for being on The King Review.
My absolute pleasure, and hope to speak to you again.